You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Jackie Vakes of Stewart Peterson Group in Champaign, Illinois. Good afternoon, Jackie.
Well, good afternoon, Dave.
I want to start in the wheat pit because it's one of the few things, other than maybe crude oil, that is actually green on my screen. Why is wheat showing some strength when everything else is not today?
Well, I think it's primarily that, corn and soybeans are being affected by a wetter forecast in Argentina. You know, we have picked up an awful lot of late in the bean pit, especially, and that has been supporting everything else. I think today you also saw some spread unwinding where you actually had, they bought wheat and sold corn today. The feature had been buying corn and selling wheat for a while. So, it's just one of those phenomena that goes on when you have a change in weather.
I was thinking there might have been some short covering in the wheat pit today, too.
Well, there may be. I haven't seen any. I won't see anything until tomorrow morning to actually see what's going on. But that certainly is a possibility anytime that you start and you take a market, although we're only at 759.5. We were at 774 the other day. I could believe that, we could see short covering if we get higher again.
Meanwhile, corn down today modestly, soybeans down today modestly. As we begin to calculate day by day the insurance numbers for February to set our fall prices for insurance, as you're looking at that ongoing and infant battle, what are you seeing?
Well, it is definitely an infant battle. There's no question about that. I think that one of the things one of my friends put together that I checked, and it's great, March corn futures over the past 10 years during the month of February they've rallied 6 years, and five of those, they had a rally of approximately 25 cents. 1 year, it was 75. They've traded sideways for 3 years in a price range of about 25 cents and traded lower 1 year with a drop of 25 cents. When you look at March beans during that same 10-year period in February, we've had 7 years of up an average of a dollar. 2 years of down an average of $1.50, and then tried to work its way back, and 1 year just trading in a sideway range of 40 cents. The thing I think most interesting, I looked at the last 3 years, and if you look at corn, in 2010 we traded sideways for 25 cents in February, and in beans we gained 50 cents. In 2011 we rallied corn 75 cents, and beans went down $1.50, and in 2012 corn went sideways for 25 cents, and beans went up a dollar. And so it seems to be quite obvious that they very seldom will do things together. And I guess we've started out the month that way, Dave, because so far March corn in the month of February has lost 19.5 cents and beans have gained 19 cents. So I also wrote a program a while back, I call it The Fight Between Corn and Beans for Acres.
Yeah, and November beans 1336 right now.
Yep.
And yep. December corn 578.75. Conventional wisdom would tend to suggest that corn would win under those numbers, but maybe you're saying not so?
Well, it just depends upon, I guess, how in-depth you want to look. In my particular spreadsheet, I look at seed, fertilizer, chemicals, crop insurance, fuel, hired labor, rent, trucking, machinery depreciation or machinery costs, irrigation, drying, and wages. Now, I ran it today on a non-irrigated situation, in other words, and I've done this in a bunch of Indiana, Illinois, Iowa places to try and get a good handle on the difference in cost. If you have a bean price for fall that's 40 under on basis and you produce 62 bushel, which would be unusual for us here or any of these other two states, and you have a corn basis of negative 25, better basis by 15 cents, beans beats corn by almost $35 an acre. Mm. And so, it's because of the corn difference. On average, we're coming up with about $309 difference to plant corn, and so that has to be figured in. So, if you're just looking at it, 2.3 ratio, the old rule of thumb was we had to be 2.5 to see that difference, to really get beans to the point where they were equal with corn. But the rules have changed for everything.
Mm. So given what you just said and looking at the prices that we have today, I know it's probably hard at this point because of the timing, because we're in the insurance window for producers to to do some marketing for new crop. But as you're, if these kind of numbers keep up, what kind of strategies might you begin to think about?
Well, you know, when you look at the fact that beans are just off their nearby highs, and we've got corn down near its recent lows, I'd be looking at the bean market, and I'd be doing some option positions. I wouldn't get very aggressive in the cash market just yet, especially right ahead of this USDA report. USDA report is expected to show increases in corn stocks and wheat stocks and some depreciation in the bean situation, but you know, that may or may not be true, and all of that, of course, is on old crop. But at the same time, we have this USDA report coming. We have, well, of course, we had the government congressional budget committee yesterday give a bunch of numbers. I don't know if they're worth anything or not. Mm-hmm. But we do have the USDA outlook meeting. That's going to be the third week in February. That'll give us more direction. And so if you're going to do anything, I'd be using some option strategies more than making, let's say, concrete contracts at this point in time, because I just think there's too much up in the air. Now, the one thing that I saw a quote from Bill Gates today that I thought was pretty good, and he said, success is a lousy teacher. It seduces people into thinking they can't lose. And I think in this case, at least with people that I talk to, especially producers, we look at high prices as being success. Mm. And you know, I think it's very, very true that we have to be careful not to get seduced into thinking that we can't lose those high prices. Yes, we're drying a lot of places. There's just no question about that. But we don't know what can happen. We do know that we have to protect ourselves as business risk managers, both for end users and for producers, from the potential. An end user's got to have his cash purchased and then use a put if the price goes backwards. I think a producer needs to take positions and options with the idea that we may have a good opportunity to see it go higher. But nobody knows, and so you've got to protect yourself and control the emotion.
Thank you very much, Jackie.
Thank you, Dave.
That's Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group, and she is in Champaign, Illinois. She joins us every Wednesday afternoon here on the Closing Market Report.